number two of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside Pablo Giamatti, a.k.a. John Rudolph behind the dials. We hope everybody is having a fantastic Thursday evening. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is Jason Cole from Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. Jason, how are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Oh, well, you know, we're just excited and ecstatic that football's back, but kind of sad that it's the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the sort of contradictory feelings that preseason's like that.
Yeah, it's especially the first one, you're kind of like, oh, thank God football's back, and then you watch like the first couple series and you realize, oh, yeah, it's preseason football, I'm watching, what else is on?
I'm watching Drew Stanton, and then I'm getting ready for Blaine Gabbert. The funny part is I was listening to some stuff from NFL Network this morning as they were trying to promote this game. It's like, oh, you're looking for that guy who's out of nowhere. I'm like, no, you're really not.
No, you're really not.
Wait till the regular season and see if that guy does something. And then here you can read the backstory later on.
How does one prepare themselves to watch Blaine Gabbert? Because I had to do it a few years at Mizzou, and I struggled then. I haven't figured it out yet.
I thought he was kind of interesting at Mizzou, wasn't he?
He wasn't terrible. He should have stayed another year.
Yeah,
what a glowing endorsement. He wasn't terrible.
Well, leaving after your junior year, following a 16 touchdown to 10 interception season, usually doesn't leave the best taste in the mouth of the college fans. But what happened?
Yeah,
hey, there's a lot of money when you're 6'5" and you can almost guarantee yourself a first round draft pick off that and your arm strength. I can't blame the guy.
No, he went and made money, so good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the news down in South Florida, kind of bad news and good news. Ryan Tannehill goes down with a knee injury, has the MRI, and then no structural damage done to the knee. And then assume right now any kind of starting quarterback goes down, everybody starts talking about this is where Colin Kaepernick could go. Seemed like everybody kind of forgot they already have a pretty good backup in Matt Moore. But let's say Tannehill was going to be down for the rest of the year. Do you think that Stephen Ross, considering the things that that Colin Kaepernick has said about Fidel Castro, could you see Colin Kaepernick as being a good fit in Miami?
Well, he didn't really say anything about Castro. That was the Malcolm X shirt. I mean, that was a problem, and I understand it. But Stephen Ross is also the sponsor of this RISE project, which is designed to go. It's a race relations promoting program that a lot of his players are involved in. So for him to take a stance against Colin Kaepernick would be also contradictory to his own programs. So I don't know that that'll happen. I would say this, though. Look at the coach, and it's Adam Gase. A guy he worked with 2 years ago, Jay Cutler just retired, and he's a big defender of Jay Cutler. So if Jay Cutler were to go anywhere, it would be to go play for Adam Gase. So I would say the first phone call is going to be to Jay Cutler. The second phone call would probably be another call to Peyton Manning to see if Peyton wants to play, since Gase and Peyton were together in Denver. And then I think you get to the third phone call of, okay, do you want to bring in Colin Kaepernick then? And at that point in time, look, if you're to the point where you're on your third phone call and you're trying to get ready for the season and you know that Ryan Tannehill is out for either an extended period of time or the entire season, beggars can't be choosers at a certain point. I mean, I look at Baltimore and, their fail-safe is Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
How fast can I get Kaepernick into town?
And it sounds like the owner there is the only real hang-up, because Ozzie Newsome wants to sign him. And so does John Harbaugh. They're both on the same page. They want to sign Colin Kaepernick, but the owner's not on board.
I don't know that they said that they want to. I think they just said they're unafraid of it. I would say this. The problem that Kaepernick has is nobody else is, busting down the doors to sign him. So you don't have to get him right now. You only have to get him when you're pushed to the absolute brink. Now, I think that Baltimore, they're remaining confident with Ryan Mallett. I would not be so confident with Ryan Mallett. But maybe they're just sitting there saying, look, we know the Flacco thing is not that bad, so let's hold off for the time being because we don't want to do anything to disturb Flacco. I'm not a big believer in that, but I think that that's what their thinking is at the point, because they're under no pressure at this point in time to go get Kaepernick.
Do you think that it's almost better for Colin Kaepernick to remain unsigned and then kind of as almost like a social martyr, and that kind of it helps him advance his cause even further than being, you know, Joe Flacco's backup and then kind of forgotten about?
I think he wants to play football. And I know there are a bunch of people who are there. Well, he's got to say that he wants to play football. When was the last time that a guy who was out of work had to say, I want to work? Like, had to come out and beg for that job.
Yeah.
If he's taking phone calls, I don't get that one. Like, you know, prove to me that you really love to play football. He's already said, I'm not going to kneel. I mean, he's already, you know, he's had his agent say that. He has gone and visited the Seattle Seahawks. He has kept himself in shape. The man wants to play football. And so I think the martyr story, you know, gets some mileage. I'm not sure that it's going to have a really long-lasting effect. I mean, like, ask people who Kirk Flood is. And I'll bet you most of them have no idea.
Yeah.
And although he's the greatest martyr of all time, of all athletes.
There's no question about that. And I mean, I think HBO had a pretty good documentary about Kurt Flood. It was last year before, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right, but the people under the age of, you know, maybe 35 to 40 or 30 to 40 has some knowledge of Kurt Flood, but anybody under 30, no chance. Absolutely no chance.
Jason Cole from Bleacher Report joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. Who do you think is going to have a better bounce back year? Is it going to be Adrian Peterson down in New Orleans, or is it going to be Marshawn Lynch out in Oakland?
Well, I think it's going to be Marshawn, because I think he's going to get more opportunity to carry the ball. I think that there's going to be a lot of sharing of carries in New Orleans, because they're being very conscious of the fact that Mark Ingram is their starter and that he's the bell cow running back there. So, and then they've got the third kid. I'm trying to remember his name. At the moment, but they've got a third guy that they like. Now, in Oakland, they've got the two young guys that they like, too, but they're both speed guys.
Jason, are you still there?
Can you hear me still?
Yep. You're kind of breaking up there. I'm sorry. We lost you for a little bit.
No, it's okay. Sorry about that. But I think that the Marshawn Lynch is the chief guy to be the power back in that offense, given the way they play.
Considering how good that Oakland offensive line is, I know that right now Donald Penn, their starting left tackle, is in the middle of a contract holdout, but I have a feeling they're probably going to get that resolved. And I'm reading things on Twitter that the draft pick that they have, who's going to be Donald Penn's backup, is actually doing pretty well in camp so far. I know it's only been a couple of days, but so far they like what they see.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I've read that, but I obviously haven't seen it, so I will reserve judgment. I also tend to think that some of those tweets get sent out when the team leaks that stuff out. It's also a message to Donald Penn,
sure,
that we don't need you as badly as you think we need you.
Yeah.
And the truth is that usually they do.
What rookie are you most excited to see this coming season?
Well, I mean, obviously one of these quarterbacks, and you want to know which one's going to play, because there's a good chance that they all sit, but I think that, you know, Deshaun Kaiser's got a pretty good chance of playing in Cleveland. He's going to be really interesting. I think Deshaun Watson is an interesting story in Houston, depending on what happens with Tom Savage. Although I hear things about Tom Savage right now coming out of Houston that he's played very, very well. But I've also heard, you know, Bill O'Brien has also said glowing things about Deshaun Watson. So those are optimistic. I mean, those are the guys you really, really look at and see, you know, which one of those guys is going to be special. But, you know, I'm a little bit of a homer here, and I'll say Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And what he's going to be able to do with Cam Newton. And we saw, you know, the tape of him trying to be covered, you know, Luke Kuechly trying to cover Christian McCaffrey the other day, and McCaffrey making him look silly. That's a pretty good sign of things to come for Christian McCaffrey. And if Cam Newton is smart, and I think he is, he's going to be getting rid of the ball real fast to Christian McCaffrey.
We know how usual, I guess you could say, the turnover in the playoffs is for the NFL. Pretty much over the last 10 years, it's been either four or five teams almost every year. Do you think the Panthers mm-hmm. are a team that rebounds this year? I mean, last year they got Kelvin back, but the Cam was taking hits all over the place, and they obviously fell apart. With Christian McCaffrey, with maybe Cam back to his form from a few years ago, do you think the Panthers make a run at it again this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's altogether possible for them. I mean, that's a strong team. And I think that there were moments last year that they played very, very well. I think their confidence was shot, however, in that season opener. I mean, that really shook them when they lost at Denver in the opener. And I think that as a result of that, there were a lot of close games that, you know, that they won the year before that got them on a roll, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden this team felt incredibly confident coming in the second half of the season. They really started to roll people hard. That momentum never started for them. It never really got going in the first half of the season. And, you know, Cam had the injury issues. You know, their secondary was porous. So my question is, have they fixed the secondary? Now, I think that they've fixed the offense, both in terms of the ability to score by adding Samuel and McCaffrey, also taking a lot of the pressure off of Cam Newton. I think that this is a referendum for Cam Newton on, can you get the ball out of your hands? So if they can score, I think they can protect their defense a little bit better. Downside is they're in a really rough division.
Very.
I mean, yeah. You know, that's all four teams have quality quarterbacks. And all four teams have depth. When you're talking about the Saints being the weakest team in that division, that's a good, strong division.
With that offense?
Yeah. With that quarterback, too.
Exactly.
That's right. That's going
to
be rough.
They're going to score 25 to 30 a game, and that's the weakest team in the division.
We have the TV on here in the studio, and obviously it's the Hall of Fame game between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. And I'm looking at the Cowboys, and I'm like, when did the Cowboys kind of become the Oakland Raiders? You know, the land of misfit toys, and where, you know, everybody's an outlaw and everybody's, you know, getting suspended or threatened to get suspended. What exactly has gone on in Dallas, and how exactly did it go off the rails?
Did you not pay attention to, like, Hollywood Henderson?
Fair
okay,
point.
Fine. After a 30-year lapse, how did the Cowboys fall back into this?
Since Michael Irvin retired.
Did you miss Eric Williams and Mark Tuane?
That's true.
And Nate Newton and Kevin Gogan and Michael Irvin?
Well, Michael Irvin especially, yeah.
Right. I mean, like, when were the Cowboys choir boys? When did that happen?
Well, I mean,
for any extent, except when they were terrible, yeah, they were choir boys.
Well, they were choir boys under Tom Landry.
No, they weren't. nobody ever paid attention.
He did a good job of covering it up.
People prayed to the cowboy figurines. You know, like they were. They were God's team because Tom Landry was his God-fearing coach. But, you know, like I said, you know, Hollywood Henderson, they had more than their fair share of guys who were, you know, who were criminals and, you know, miscreants. I mean, they just, you know, it was a different era. And then in the highlighted era, again, we go to Michael Irvin and all the bad boys who were on that. I mean, they had the White House. Like, it doesn't get any better than that, you know, when you talk about teams that are out of control. So, I guess my thing is they're sort of like the Raiders right now, but they've always kind of been like that. And we tended to kind of overlook it. That's, you know, because the Raiders love to make it part of their, the Raiders wanted to be thugs. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're hanging out with the Hell's Angels and getting rights to the game from the Hell's Angels back in the 70s, yeah.
Right, yeah, when you have Lyle Alzado and Matuzak and Al Davis is running the show, yeah, the Hell's Angels are just like B players in your soap opera, right? Like,
absolutely.
That's an amazing thing.
Is it just a coincidence that we're talking about the two teams that happen to be a little roguish that also happen to have the most hands-on owners when it comes to the actual football operations, or at least the way they get themselves in front of the media when they talk about football operations? Is it just a coincidence
talking
about those two?
Right, because those people consider themselves football people, and they want to win as football people rather than – they have less regard for what happens in the public because they want the – you know, Al Davis built his reputation on being a football guy. Jerry Jones has always wanted to build his reputation on being a football guy. That's the reason why he got rid of Jimmy Johnson, and the reason he also got rid of Bill Parcells, because, you know, once they served their purpose and made the teams relevant, he wanted to be the one to play with the toys. So, you know, Jerry's always wanted to be that guy. He's also been a great business guy. But, yeah, they think that they're football people, and therefore they justify whatever means or whatever players that they select to be part of the show.
Jason Cole from Bleacher Report joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62. Jason, what team do you think is going to be the biggest surprise coming into the 2017 season? I kind of got my eyes on the Tennessee Titans. I like that offense, and I like that offensive line. And at the defense, if they can come into their own, I think the Tennessee is going to be really tough in the AFC this coming year.
I think their Tennessee is interesting, and I like what they have overall, and I like the direction that John Robinson, their general manager, is taking them in and building a power running game that complements what Marcus Mariota does and sets up Marcus Mariota very well. So I like that. I thought for a while it was going to be San Diego because they lost so many close games last year, but with these two injuries, you know, losing I mean, this is bad. This is really, really bad for this team. So, I hope that the Chargers end up having a better year. I'm just worried about what's going to ultimately happen.
Jason, we appreciate your time this evening, sir. Do your best to enjoy the Hall of Fame game. Try not to flip it on Lewis and Clark reruns or anything like that that might be on. I don't know, Big Bang Theory on TBS, something like that. But. What's up? Giamatti or Rocchio just pointed at me.
It's not that bad of a show.
What, Big Bang Theory?
It's not that bad.
No, I like Big Bang Theory. Right. Just that it's on TBS all the time, it seems like. Jason, have a good night, sir.
Talk to you later, guys. Be good.
That is Jason Cole from Bleacher Report, and you can follow him on Twitter at JasonCole62.
It's funny you bring that up because I discovered while watching that show, Big Bang Theory, earlier today, that Eric Messersmith, in the show prior to us, The Hardline, looks like Will Wheaton. And I will make fun of him a lot for that. By the way, I wanted to clear up something that Jason mentioned earlier. Stephen M. Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, the charitable group he's in, it is called Rise to Win, founded in 2015 by Miami Dolphins owner. The Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, RISE, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to harnessing the unifying power of sports to improve race relations and drive social progress. Led by an unprecedented alliance of professional sports leagues, organizations, athletes, educators, media networks, and sports professionals, we use sports to promote understanding, respect, and equality.
Yeah, and Stephen Ross last season, I mean, he told his players, look, if you want to take a knee during the national anthem, I'm going to support you. So, I mean, if he's going to go that far, then he shouldn't have any trouble signing Colin Kaepernick. But, I mean, he made it sound like they're going to call Jay Cutler first and then Peyton Manning and then Colin Kaepernick. So that doesn't sound like Colin's going to be too high on their list. We have a text coming in from Fat Daddy. That 590 show raises my tent, if you know what I mean. And I do believe we do, and you're not the first texter to tell us that. So.
Can't see it, but I'm winking at the mic.
Yeah, Rocky was really excited. You think there was a new episode of Game of Thrones on. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right
here.
We're
going to talk about Game of Thrones with Giamatti.
Oh, my God. That might be the next in the segment. I might have just, you know, cursed myself. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Drop it for me. I'll rent a